welcome to an unusually estrogen-filled episode of Highly Questionable. I'm Mina Kimes. This is Sarah Spain. That's Katie Nolan. Katie, what do you like in the show today?
Well, first, I love that we all match. And second, I'm ready to get into some cat content.
Ooh, yeah.
Did the Cowboys impress you last night, or did they just get bailed out by a black cat?
So, Dallas beat New York on Monday Night Football handily, but the biggest story of the day is, of course, the random cat that ran onto the field during the game. If you look at Dallas's win probability chart from last night, it looks like this. That is when the cat showed up. Now, I thought Dak played fine at the end. I was more impressed by Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, and Blake Jarwin, which, by the way, has there ever been a more Cowboys tight end sounding name than Blake Jarwin? But I was especially impressed by Dallas's defense, which not only sacked Daniel Jones 5 times, but held Saquon Barkley to less than 30 yards rushing. To put that in perspective, Saquon Barkley had fewer rushing yards than the cat. That means he has to change his name to Saquon Purley.
Look, Mina. Dallas was impressive last night, but at the same time, like, that was a must-win for them given their last showing at MetLife. They could not go back in there and look terrible. Plus, we've got an NFC with 5 teams with winning records who aren't in first place, so they needed to pull off that win. Also, beating the Giants just isn't that impressive in general. What I'm most interested in, that cat taught us a lot. We learned that DeMarcus Lawrence is afraid of cats. That's fascinating. We learned that Zeke is allergic to cats. Also fascinating. Jerry Jones thinks a cat can make eye contact with him when he's sitting in the owner's box. I've got many questions about that. But the biggest question is, has anybody checked in on the cat? Because I'm pretty sure the bad luck is that the Giants crossed its path, and I just want to make sure that it's still with us.
Yeah, I mean, if anything is probably cursing anything, it's the Giants with anyone who comes in their path or is involved with them in any way. I'm not that impressed by what the Cowboys did. I expected them to beat the Giants. They seem to always beat the Giants. I'm most concerned about who the Cowboys are outside of their division. Since last season, they're 9-1 against their division, 6-8 against everybody else, including 1-3 this year against anybody who isn't the Giants, Eagles, and Washington. So who are they really? They're piling up victories against teams that aren't that great. This was closer than it should have been for most of the game. So the Cowboys, sure, the cat probably didn't actually help them, but they didn't need it. They were playing the Giants.
Don't take that away from the cat. Give the cat the W, Sarah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, the cat deserves a ton of credit, but so did this security officer who randomly gestured the cat towards the exit, which was the only thing that worked.
Yeah, they were all really avoiding that cat like it might be rabid or, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised because cats are evil, and if they were bigger, they would murder all of us, so it's not surprising that they would be terrified.
Yeah, it just is weird. They just kind of let him do what he wanted. He had all the space in the world. It was like, go ahead, cat, show us what you got. And all he really did was be a cat. But yeah, Still, impressive showing.
You can't treat it like a streaker. It's not like they're going to tackle it and dive
on
it. First of all,
I mean, you
it's
say
too
can't.
Elusive.
You
and
could.
Secondly, PETA would be on them like
right.
That.
And, of course, you don't want other cats getting ideas from watching them. We showed them on TV.
It's so true. That's why I thought they were going to cut away.
Yeah,
I thought they'd cut away. You can't be encouraging other cats to be out here all willy-nilly.
Would you say it might inspire copycats?
Oh, Sarah, I wouldn't say that because I respect myself.
Are Daniel Jones's turnovers worrisome or to be expected?
I hate when people say this on TV, but it's a little of both. Of course, rookie quarterback getting used to the NFL, but I'm still going more worrisome than expected when you've got 8 interceptions and 8 fumbles. You're tied with Jameis Winston, and you've only played in 7 games. This is clearly more than just a rookie who needs a couple more reps. This is a guy who needs to improve his accuracy, his decision-making, especially when it's a fumble that leads to a massive gain and touchdown that puts away a game.
Yeah, 8 fumbles this early in the season I find to be particularly concerning. It's just holding on to the ball. It's a thing you should probably know how to do. But I think the bigger concern, big picture, is that he's trending downwards. That's not something you want to see. You want him to be improving or at least feeling like he has the room to fail but not taking advantage of the opportunity to fail as often as he currently is. If you're going to draft a guy because he reminds you of Eli, though, you have to acknowledge that you're going to get the good and the bad. Like, Giants, you have a type, and your type, his downside, is he's not great with turnovers. It's just kind of a thing. So I think the sooner they accept that, they can start working towards, you know, helping him improve. But yet clearly, they like one type of guy.
Katie's right. And by the way, this is why teams should have more women on their scouting staffs to remind them not to keep going after the same guy. To answer the original question, it is expected because what we saw last night out of Jones is similar to what we saw in college, in particular the decision making or lack of decision making under pressure, throwing aggressively into coverage, fumbling the ball due to a lack of pocket awareness. And what's alarming is, as Katie pointed out, it seems to be trending in the wrong direction. They need to turn it around if they want to save the season.
You guys, we've seen a lot of him throwing balls like Eli, but does he have a Jones face? Because I didn't notice yet whether he has a go-to face when he makes a mistake. That is the most important part if he's going to be anything like his predecessor.
Here's the problem. I think it's the same as Eli face. They look very similar.
Identical.
It's kind of creepy. Honestly, it's just like, it's very triggering. It's like, oh, I love dating a bad boy. And then it's like, why do they keep hurting me? Like, well, maybe pick a nice one, idiot.
Is Earl Thomas right that Lamar Jackson is the MVP over Russell Wilson?
First of all, Earl Thomas didn't actually mention Russell Wilson. That was the producer just cobbling it together to troll me. I love Earl Thomas. He's a Hall of Fame safety. He's better than me in just about every way, but he is not right about this. There's really no statistical case you can make for Lamar Jackson over Russell Wilson. There's no statistical case at this point for anyone over Russell Wilson, who leads the league in just about every category. He has thrown 22 touchdowns to one interception. The only case you could make is that the Ravens beat the Seahawks head-to-head. But that's like arguing AJ from the Backstreet Boys is better than Justin Timberlake just because the band had more sales. Yeah, three women. Oh, yeah, it's happening. Which boy band wins is not a stat, just like QB wins is not a stat.
I have to agree with Mina, particularly on this head-to-head. Russell Wilson statistically has been better, and I think it's kind of like in the NBA when they don't want to give the award to Michael Jordan every year. They just ask whose time it is, and I think that's partly why we're so moved by Lamar Jackson. Also, he's been fantastic. There's no arguing against that, but he's benefited greatly from a lot of the skill around him. And I also would argue that for Lamar Jackson, maybe not everything shows up in a box score, right? His ability to make defenses play him on us sets up other guys on his team. So there's statistics benefit while we're not paying attention to the fact that that Mark Ingram run is happening because of his ability to make the defense play him for the run in the pass. That being said, the only person I think who is really competing with Russell Wilson is probably Christian McCaffrey. And back to the NBA argument, it's because if you give an award to a quarterback every single year that's supposed to be an MVP award, not a quarterback award, when you have someone who is approaching the argument of being, you know, better or as good, who doesn't play that position, I think it makes you wonder if he should get the nod.
Look, Lamar looks fantastic. He's so much fun to watch, unless you're me this week as a Patriots fan. But we can't forget, we are not that far removed from the league as a whole, fans, offices, everybody not even accepting him as a quarterback, wanting him to change positions. And they've done a pretty good job of eating crow on that this season, but they're not going to eat enough crow that they're going to start discussing him as potentially an MVP option. It's just we're not those types of fans that are going to be like, we were so wrong, this guy could be MVP. It's just we got to be honest. That's not something I can see fans doing. What this sounded like to me, even though Earl didn't specifically mention Russell, this is like when you're like, you know what? I'm better off here. I'm like much happier, honestly. And like, this is just really good for me right now. And I don't even think about my last guy. I like my new guy. He's better for me.
Thank you for saying eating crow instead of eating raven.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
If he thought that Chicago was a better place for him with championship, I can't finish it.
Is it? Where is she going to go? Okay. Where is she going with this?
Oh, Sarah, at least you have Mitch.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Death Stranding. Pre-order now for PS4, out November 8th. Do you buy that Anthony Davis could actually leave the Lakers to sign with his hometown Bulls?
It's a cute question, guys. I appreciate you throwing me a bonus. If something good could ever happen to the Bulls. Anthony Davis said there's nothing like playing at home. And I mean, I'm a free agent next year, shortly after talking about Chicago still being the mecca of basketball. I appreciate the kind words. I think there's almost zero chance that he would come and play for the Bulls. Just like when there was a rumor that LeBron might be interested, or Carmelo might be interested, or Kevin Durant might be interested. For whatever reason, Chicago has become a place that does not get considered a major market, a place that appears to be problematic in terms of ownership and how they treat their players, that dates all the way back to when Michael Jordan was around. So for whatever reason, no, it will never be that, even as plenty of small marketplaces with no historic basketball legends or ties or championships steal away big-name players.
Do you feel like maybe part of the reason might be because nobody wants to, no professional athlete wants to punch a card in a time clock when they're at their job? I feel like it might be somewhat related. As with any impending free agency, I always say this, there's no benefit to saying that you're definitely staying. Whether or not you know you're definitely staying, you might as well introduce a little bit of doubt so that people want to make you the offer that you want. Also, important to put this quote in context, he was in Chicago talking at an event with kids. The question came from a kid. So, I mean, we're out here making a big deal out of it, but what's he going to say to the kid? Like, nah, I hate it here, kid. No hope for you. I'm staying in L.A. Like, now we're out here making it a big deal. Now LeBron's going to be mad at him. Like, what is this? A kid asked him a question, and he answered it to make the kid happy.
Yes, I think Katie's right. This was about the context, him answering the question in front of a group of kids. I will say literally anything to make kids be quiet. Clearly don't have any. I do think Anthony would like to be known as the guy in Chicago. There's a gap there for a star, but it just doesn't make basketball or financial sense for him to leave Los Angeles, especially after he gave up so much money to leave New Orleans. For him to sign somewhere other than L.A., he'd probably have to give up as much as $50 million to pass on that max deal, and I just don't see that happening.
But I don't think his decision-making was based on money, right? He could have made even more if he'd stayed with the Pelicans. So if he thought that Chicago was a better place for him with championship, I can't finish it.
How long is she going to go? Where's she going with this?
Oh, Sarah, at least you have Mitch.
You know what, Mina?
Should the Red Sox pay Mookie Betts or trade him?
Bet I'm supposed to take this one, huh? Yeah, with the news yesterday, was it, that J.D. Martinez is going to opt in. Obviously, that's good news for the Red Sox, given how big he is for their offense. But it also complicates things for a team that has said that their biggest goal this offseason is to get underneath the luxury tax. So it leaves them with a couple of options. They can trade Martinez, which might be difficult given the market and how much money he is set to be paid. They could trade Mookie Betts, which would be bad for morale. And also, he has a very expensive contract, but if you do one of those fancy advanced metrics that they do where they turn wins above replacement into money, he actually brings more value into the franchise than they pay him. So why would you get rid of that guy? They could explore options for some of their expensive pitchers like Eovaldi or Sale, just situations or even price. Guys who have had injury struggles in the past that cost a bunch of money. What's most interesting to me is that the guy in charge of all this is the new chief baseball officer, Chaim Bloom, a 36-year-old dude who I think may be having the toughest first couple months on the job out of anyone in the history of ever. And it's certainly not easy to figure out what in the world he's going to do.
I would just like to point out that in succession, the producers trolled me with a question about Earl Thomas saying Russell mm-hmm. is not the MVP. Sarah with a Anthony Davis Chicago trade that will never happen. And then mm-hmm. Katie with Mookie Betts potentially yeah. leaving Boston. Mm-hmm. It's like our comments section came to life. as much as I too swears. Would like to troll Katie and say that they should trade him, they absolutely should not. He is a generational talent. Just because the Red Sox have made some dubious financial decisions, seem to not prepare for this scenario, doesn't mean that they should let him walk.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a chance that other teams would recognize that wins above replacement value and be willing to take a chance on getting him for 1 year and expecting him to re-sign. But that's a lot of prospects you're going to give up for a guy as talented as Betts with no guarantees that he's going to be around for more than a year. I think that makes it really difficult for that trade to work. Same goes for Martinez because of the value of his contract and because he has an opt-out clause for each of the last 3 years of his five-year deal. He could be a rental. He could be around for a while, depending on the team he goes to and how he likes it. That makes things much trickier for Bloom, Katie, the new chief baseball officer. What's interesting to consider is that he's walking into a situation where he says, I'd like to change our big goal for the offseason and not get us under that salary dollar amount because I would like to win. And I've been put in a position that's very difficult. So let's just be okay with the spending and make sure I have the talent to work with so that we actually have a shot at this.
Look, Mookie, if you're watching, I don't know if there's another stadium in Major League Baseball that is as close to a bowling alley as Fenway Park. And so I think it's in your best interest as a championship bowler to stay there, even if you've got to do some fancy math and maybe you lose.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just stick around. Please don't leave. We love you so much.
Definitely not watching.
No.
Time to play the game that gets to work with one of my best friends today. Do you question?
Oh, that's so nice.
No, I'm pretty sure that was me.
That's so nice.
You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question who gave a worse effort, James Harden or Ben McLemore?
So the Rockets beat Memphis last night. James Harden scored 44 points, but of course we're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about this play. All right, so there's Harden on defense. Well, I wouldn't call that defense.
Yeah, right.
Of course, McLemore inbounds it. Harden, again, does not make much of an effort to get the basketball. I got to say, this is more on Ben McLemore, though. Watch the pass.
Yeah, what he didn't even, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even a questionable, it wasn't a 50-50 ball. He just handed it to him.
Yeah, I think James Harden is never going to get past stereotypes about his previous defensive efforts, no matter how much he improves. If there's points like this, even if he wasn't directly involved with that inbounds, he was just the intended target of a one-foot dribble pass, he still is involved, and he's still going to get flagged for it.
The answer to the question is that they should both be equally embarrassed, but not as embarrassed as me, who got caught on camera earlier doing this when you said Macklemore because I started playing a Macklemore song in my head. Next question. Time to play the game that wants to remind Sarah that Mitch Trubisky is the Bears quarterback. See? Or no? Sarah, it's left, right.
I did it.
Sarah? Sarah, honey, it's left, right.
Oh.
Tonight on ESPN, the State Farm Champions Classic, number 4 Duke and number 3 Kansas, and number 2 Kentucky versus number 1 Michigan State.
That is a heck of a lineup tonight. We're not going to show you any highlights relating to that, though. We're going to show you this prank from Kansas instead. This director of basketball operations.
Oh!
I mean,
look at his face!
Amazing! Oh, they're showing... That is great.
That is
dressed
great.
As the mannequins in whatever the heck this room is where they show off their uniforms and stuff. Ooh, the stutter step. Oh.
Oh, my God, the fear. I hate pranks.
Somebody punch really him in do. The face.
How many times are we going to watch this?
I hate pranks so much. And this
why
is
are they why all doing me? Fast feet? They are all doing fast feet. You can tell these are basketball players.
Yeah, it's part of their training regimen.
Yeah. Oh, of course, I'm intrigued because, you know, ESPN and yada, yada, yada. That's my bosses. Katie, are you intrigued?
Love the video. Love college basketball. But I have to say I'm not going to watch it because I need to continue my tradition of filling out my bracket knowing absolutely nothing about any team that plays college basketball. It's been really working for me.
We'll keep that in mind when you pretend to be an expert on this show in just
Please
a couple
do.
Months.
Thank you so much.
Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
Of course, this is a historic day. The first time in a long time we've seen all four teams on the AP poll. Speaking of polls, it'll be interesting to see if Snoop Dogg shows up to the Kansas game.
Coming soon to history, Kings of Pain.
Ooh.
The producers are telling me we have a clip for this, which should be interesting.
If this thing latches on, it's going to get very serious very quickly.
That
What's
voice.
Gonna happen? Seems like a
What's
terrible
happening?
Idea.
Let's out at the beginning.
Who is talking?
What?
Is that who is talking?
Is that MSMR thing? Am
so
I supposed
creepy.
To be aroused?
ASMR, Sarah.
Case
so
scenario.
Close.
We could die.
Why are we whispering? I hate it.
I hate it so much.
Okay. Also, if you're wearing a full face mask, why are you wearing a tank top? Like, shouldn't you just protect all of the things? Like, only your face matters?
Yeah. That guy's rocking the V Stiviano.
What are we doing?
Oh my God!
Look at his arm! Look at
the cat!
Oh my God!
Stop showing it!
Why? Oh my God!
Kings of pain.
Okay, first of all, no. Absolutely not. Secondly, I always get in trouble when I say this, but why are men? Like, what are you doing? Mina, are you intrigued?
Somehow the worst part for me was the voice, right?
What was that?
The voice! Yeah! Like,
what was that?
No, I will not be watching Kings of Pain.
I don't know if it's because we're all on remote and I've got an earpiece in. I didn't hear a word he said. I just was so sufficiently creeped out by Kings of Pain. Like, what kind of a... Are they trying to do an oppo thing where it's like, normally it's like, Kings of Pain! And now they want to do a whisper? What's happening? No!
No is the answer for everyone.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Subscribe to the ESPN Daily Podcast. It's hosted by Mina Kimes.
Listen to Katie Nolan's sports podcast and watch Always Late Thursday nights at 12:30 Eastern.
Subscribe to That's What She Said with Sarah Spain and check out her radio show, Spain & Company.
Women lifting other women.
Yeah! We can do it.
I do that. I wish I didn't do that.
Sisterhood.